Here's Morty.
I don't
you don't want to announce it?
Okay. Page 30A1. Lamed Oh, gosh.
Thank you.
now we got to keep him on retainer.
Thank you, Morty. So the Gemara asked a kasha. We said that a dough owned by a non-Jew, but made by a Jew, is exempt from challo. What's the difference between this and dough of the royal tax? So this thing is, you had a non-Jewish ruler, and he required his subjects to bake bread, give it to his soldiers who are passing through. Let's learn that way, okay? They're different pshatim. So the rule is, shema eina feves b'challo. Is this latter dough, that is to say, we'll call it the soldier dough, is the soldier dough not chayav to challah? It certainly is. The Gemara makes that assumption. It certainly is. For, we're just going to accept this because it happens to be a Tosefta that says explicitly, so we're just going to accept it. The Gemara knew the Tosefta. It's in
paragraph. You're making your own bread. You're giving it to the guy. Here, you're taking the guy's thing and you're making the guy's dough for him.
Okay. Let's see. So
in Mitch's case, who owns the dough?
The guy owns it.
In Mitch's case, all right. The tax is you own it. In Mitch's case, you
didn't
own it.
Nakish and Nasan Yisrael,
he gave it to you.
No, that's plain.
Sorry. Very different case. Right. Got it. Okay. Let's see what the Gemara answers. My answer is Tamon Bishus Yisrael who have into the Gemara. There, in the case of the tax, the flour is in the possession of the Jew. Although the non-Jew has taxed it, right? It's possible that he'll change his mind. You know, he can always decide not to deploy the troops after all. They were going to deploy the troops, but then they decide not to. So then it comes out, I won't have to give the troops any bread. So I keep that bread. So I'm going to keep that bread. I'm going to own that bread. It's possible I'll keep it, and therefore I don't have to give. Therefore, I have to give, rather. I'm chayiv in challah. Baram hocha, but over here in our Mishnah, l'daito hitluya. Is it dependent on the desire of the non-Jew? What do you mean? It's not a question of desire. He owns the bread. There's no issue over here. The way the Gemara writes it, baram hocha, l'daito hitluya. The bottom line on the right column of the Pirush HaGemara. Pirush hocha, l'daito hitluya, l'aymar, shemirza ha'goy shalo litla. Are we going to say the guy's going to decide not to take the dough that he gave me to make? Right? He has to take it. It's his. You know, the Yisrael gives it back to me. He says, this is yours. I don't want your stuff. Right? Okay. Tani Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Malaysha Yisrael, if the merchandise, that is to say dough, of a bakery that's owned by a Jew, and there is non-Jewish workers working with it, they're mixing the dough, obviously they're going to be subject to the al-chal obligation because it's owned by the Jew, but the workers are working the dough. What if the merchandise is owned by a non-Jew? And the workers are Jewish workers. Right? Again, we don't care who's making the dough. We care who owns the dough. That's the main thing. Amar Abiyasi. Afanantinon. We learned this law also in our Mishnah as well. Nachish Nasan Yisrael, Asis Lo Yisav to Nachala. It's a fair Mishnah that if a guy gives the flour to the gut, to the yid, to make into dough, then it's part of Chala. You see, it depends on who owns it. That's the form truth in Luchayr. It may be Shay Yisrael, so it says if there's no part on the Yisrael, if they're Shutvim, then you're part of Chala. Rabbon. Why do we assume that when the guy is when the Yisrael has a shear that he's chayiv in challah? Why don't you compare it to a case where, let's suppose I have two kavan of dough and a guy has one kav of dough and I split the two kavan. Let's suppose I have one. I make them independently. One cow is here, one cow is here, and the guy's cow is in the middle. It's mafsik between the two kavan. So the rule is it's considered a hafsik because the two cow that I own are not touching each other. They're being split apart by the guy's cow. So why don't you say the same thing over here? Let's consider like this case with a kav of dough owned by a Jew here on one side, and a kav of dough owned here by a Jew here on the other side, and a kav of owned by a non-Jew in the middle. In such a case, even if the Jewish owned pieces taken together are greater than the minimum measure you need to make to be chayiv chalo. So it says, you're not obligated. This is because the dough owned by the non-Jew separates the pieces of dough owned by the Jew. And therefore, there's not one piece large enough. So by the same token, in our case, what? When you have a partnership between a non-Jew and a Jew, and the Jew owns a shear, which is chayiv and chalo, 5/4 of a kav, is owned by the Jew. Why do we assume in the Mishnah that you're chayiv? Why don't you say what? It says, we should say in the case of a dough owned in partnership, that the non-Jewish portion separates the Jewish-owned dough into parts too small to be subject to the chal obligation. Why does the Mishnah imply that there is such an obligation? Okay, you got the question? Make sense? 15. Since the Jewish-owned dough and the non-Jewish-owned dough are evenly mixed, there is a non-Jewish-owned piece attached to every Jewish-owned piece. Every single Jewish-owned piece has a little guy in there. So the non-Jewish-owned pieces of dough eliminate some of the connections between the Jewish-owned pieces, diminishing the overall bond between any two pieces of Jewish-owned dough. So the Jewish-owned dough should be considered divided into separate pieces, each of which is too small. So why does the Mishnah mashma that you're chayiv if there is a kadeshia? That's the kasha. Okay. Amalei Reb Zeira, so he said, ve'enum urav ayyadei gidin. In the case where it's owned in a partnership, is the dough not mixed with sinews of Jewish-owned dough? In other words, yes, there are these little pieces of Geisha-owned dough, but there are strands everywhere connecting that Jewish dough together, and therefore it's one big happy family. The Pillsbury Doughboy finds this very amusing. Okay, Gershon Eskar, let's go to the next case of the Ger. Gershon Eskar, for Heiselai Paro, let's suppose he owned a cow, right? I don't know how she swallowed a cow. If they shafted the cow before the geras, is potter, she's potter from the botanist kahuna, right? Israel chayim akeva, right? Mishin iskayer, if you shafted the cow after the geras, chayim, you have to give it from sofik. If you don't know when it was shafted, potter, you're potter because of matzav elvaraya. Says the feirish. So there it says that a sofik, you're potter. And hochat, omar, sofik chayiv. What's going on over here? What's the difference? How come in the case of paro, we say, misofik, you're potter from the matonis, and over here we say, if you're a sofik, you're chayiv to give the chawa to the kohen. What's the difference, right? I don't think so. I think it's only a chiyuv moment. Okay, let's see what the Gemara answers. Now we're on Lamed Amud Beis. Gemara answers on Rabacha, Itasvas Kumi Rabami. I asked this question. Amar Mi Yomer Li. Who will say to me De'ino Noitel Dama Min Hashemet, that in the case of our Mishnah, that he can't take money in exchange for the challah from the tribe? In other words, our Mishnah might mean anything different over there on the Zoral Chaim Akeva. In other words, all I'm doing is I'm saying, you, me, Suffolk, have to be mafresh kala from the Esau, but I don't have to give it to the Kohen. Maybe I can charge the Kohen to take it from me because I'm also going to Raya. So our Mishnah too may mean to apply the rule and what's going to Raya. Thus, after suffering kala, the convert need not give it to the Kohen for free. Rather, he could take money for exchanging, and accordingly, the challah is treated the same as the gifts. Neither need to be given to the kohen for free. Okay? Now, the Gemara says, Rav Yaakov bar Zavdi, Rav Chiya b'shem Rav Elazar, he taka says that you can take the money for the shave for the challah. Now, the yafresh tamon
v'yitadom.
What does that mean?
What? What does that mean? No tohu damu v'nashevet.
It's just we're just repeating the same idea that if you give the challah, if you mafresh the challah in the case of a selfek and you want to give it to the kohen, that you can charge him for it. The yafresh tamon v'yitadom v'nashevet. So the Gemara says that also be mafresh the. By the Ma'as Kahuna, why don't you do the same thing? Be Ma'afresh to Matonis, and then give it to the Shevet for a price. Why do we just say, the Mishnah is Mashma, that you're Patron Gansen from the Matonis? This is where I think the Rambam got his Lashon, that he's Chayev because it's Chayev Misa. I think the Rambam was taken right out of this Yushalmi. Yushalmi says, Chalashi Tevel. That means to say, before you're mafresh the challah, you're not allowed to eat that isa, and avon misa on top of it, right? Mafresh, so you mafresh the challah in order to permit the dough to be eaten, number one, and number two, to get out of the chi of misa. In the case of the gifts, however, the obligation to separate those gifts to give a kohen does not render the meat tevel. One may eat the rest of the meat even before separating them. Therefore, I haven't seen yet about them themselves, though. Therefore, the only reason to separate them is to give them to the kohen, since in the Mishnah in Chulin the gifts will not be given to the kohen in any case. There's no reason to separate them in the first place. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "V'lo yito damav." One second. Is there another question here? The Gemara questions this answer. Okay, "V'lo yito damav in hashevet." What about in the case of the challah? Let the owner not be permitted to take money in exchange for it from the tribe. Why do they permit the owner to demand payment from the kohen in this case? Hashem, I think my answer is Hashem. What mitzvah will varaya? I don't know what that question was. It's obvious. It's a mitzvah will varaya. We don't know. Okay, next. Amar Bun Bar Chiya. Shnei goyim shalsu shnei kavan. If you had two non-Jews, and they made a dough of two kavan in partnership, v'cholku, then they divided the dough between them. Okay, these are two non-Jews. Right? Again, each they made together two kavan together in a partnership.
Okay.
Then they divided it. Then each one added to his dough.
To shear. Over the shear.
Yeah. I mean, then they became gerim. What does it say?
It's
gairu. What does it say the words?
In the Hebrew.
It's funny. I don't see it in the English here.
The
English is missing this. This is a really bad translation. Really bad. There's an important point which is missing from the English. It has to be that they converted, right? So we made the two kavan. So listen closely to the way the Gemara set up this case. It set up the case in a way in which they both made a shear in total, a shear which was chayav and challah.
If they were Jews.
Now they go ahead and they split those up. When are they splitting the dough? When did they become gerim?
After the split,
right? So they become gerim after the split, and now
no
we add. Now we're putter, but it's or putter because it's not the shear yet. It's only a kav.
But once
now I go ahead and I add another quarter kav to it.
Each one
added a quarter kav to their own
mm-hmm.
kav. So now we have a shear which is obligated a kala.
And it's easier to get to that because you didn't have to undo any negative here.
Right.
Never had a
chiyuv. There was never a chiyuv before. So the Gemara says chayav nechayv to
that's
the chiyuv. There was never a time where it was chayav and it was putter because they were goyim. That never happened. Now that's teaching number one. Teaching number two, of course, the Gemara likes to make it more complicated.
Shmuel 13 on line 4 said that the converting to Judaism each added in a slot.
Yeah.
I don't see anything in the plain Moshe in the Mem folder. Nobody seems to say anything.
It's obvious from the it must be obvious from the context, right? Because obviously they're goyim, they're not chayiv anything. Shnei Yisraelim shalsu shnei kavan. Now let's talk about the next case. Two Jews who make two kavan together in a partnership, right? V'chopu. Now we divided up the partnership. We divided up the big blob of dough, and now I have a kav, you have a kav, right? And now hosifu zeh al shalov, we both added. So now Peturim, they're exempt from the separating the challah from the dough. Sharkar ha'ilah and shasach ha'ilah v'niftru. We had a point where we were possibly obligated, and we became potter. Why do we become potter? Because remember, we had this case. Remember, we had the rule that whenever you make dough, l'chalek, remember we had that?
Yeah.
If you make dough, l'chalek, the woman gave them, the baker, a bunch of dough to make for them, that since, even though when he makes it, he makes a big dough, which is the shear, but since at the time he makes it, it's going to be lachalik, he's going to give it out to the individuals, and each individual is less than the shear. So even though at one point it was the shear that's chayev, but since it was lachalik, it's putter. So here, too, they were partners, and therefore, at that point, it was lachalik, it could have been chayev, had it not been l'chalek, and that's considered a p'tur, and therefore if they add subsequently, even though they add enough to make each individual kav, enough to be chayv, it's p'tur. Oh. Now, final teaching. Yisrael v'goy shosu shnei kav, and now we have the case, one's Jew, and right, we start off with two goyim, then we have two yidin, and now we have one goy, one yid. Obviously, that's the next case, right? So, cholku, they made the two common and they divided it up. Hosifu zal shalom zal shalom, and each one added to their own. So nicha, it is clear, it's very clear, chelko shel Yisrael chayav, that the Jew's portion is going to be subject to chala, because he never had a minimal amount that was chayav. So now when he adds, obviously he's going to be chayav. Now what if the guy goes ahead and is megayer, right? And he adds to his amount after the gerus. What's going to happen to his chalik if after he... What?
He should be chayev.
So, will it remain exempt or not? You're saying he should be chayev. Why should he be chayev? Because there was never a shaskiyev, right? There's never a shaskiyev. Let's see. So, he says, the Gemara says, Klum chalko shel Yisrael. He changes the gears here. Klum chalko shel Yisrael chayev lo machmas chalko shel goy. If not, is not the Jew's portion subject to challah only because of the non-Jew's portion? Because it was combined with the non-Jew's portion, which does not count towards the challah measure. So that's why he was putter from, that's why he became chayv in the challah afterwards. Right? So chalko shel Yisrael chayv. The chalko shel goy putter, the portion of the Jew is subject to challah, but the portion of the non-Jew is should be exempt, should be putter. Four. So let's just read the footnote in 4, because let's understand this. The Gemara rules. In fact, the Jew's portion of the dough does complete the measure of the non-Jew's portion, so that the non-Jew is considered to have prepared a dough to a full challah measure before his conversion. Accordingly, the non-Jew's portion is permanently exempt, even when augmented after the conversion. The Jew's portion, by contrast, is not considered to have reached full measure through being combined with a non-Jew, because the completion of his dough requires that it be combined with dough that is fit for halal obligation. Since the non-Jew's dough is inherently unfit, it can't complete the measure of the Jew's portion. So it comes out that the Jew's dough never underwent a moment of obligation before becoming exempt. Therefore, it's not permanently exempt to become subject to challah once it comes up to the full size. Now, so we got that. What about the non-Jew's part? The non-Jew is not made complete through combining with the portion of another non-Jew. It is made complete through combining with the portion of a Jew. In the case of two Gentiles, neither of them are obligated to challah. Both portions are completely without inherent challah obligation. Therefore, they can combine for challah exemption. right? I'm trying to understand this chiluk. Listen to what we're saying. In the case of the two goyim, we said that if they go ahead and split up and then add to their portions, they're both chayiv. That's what we said over there. But over here, we're saying that the goy, when he becomes a Jew and adds to it, is putter. Why? Why in the case of the two goyim, when they convert and add to their portions, are they chayiv? And over here, the guy, when he goes and adds to it, after he converts, he's putter.
I understand there, because there was no chiyuv.
There was no chiyuv originally.
So there's no chiyuv, so there's no ptur, so they become chayiv, they're
chayiv. That we understand.
This I don't understand.
So now that's what we're trying to understand here. In the case of the two Gentiles, neither of whom are obligated on challah, both portions are entirely without inherent challah obligation, therefore they cannot combine. In the case of the Jew and the Gentile, however, the potential obligation that is inherent in the Jew's dough allows a joining of sorts enough to at least trigger the exemption of the non-Jew who prepares the dough of the challah measure. In other words, what he's saying is that since there is a portion of Jewish dough in the mixture, and that portion is less than the shear, that's enough to trigger a ptur on the guy's portion of the dough. That seems to be the smarter. Nevertheless, the Jew's dough is not made complete to combine it with the non-Jews. For the objective of this case is an exception.
But the shiloh doesn't begin unless there's a Jewish portion in it, because it's not.
Yeah.
Once it's nogeya, there's a passage of judgment on the situation, and there's a patur.
Yeah. Let's look into this a little bit more. 1 second.
Oh, he has the gears of absence.
He has the gears of the absence. He says chayev. I see in the shinoi gersolos it says chalko shogai. Shneihem tur chayavim. Yeah, he doesn't have the word potter. He quotes this from the Ramban. Yeah, it's a shaila in the girsa here.
Well, can you say this far again? I don't understand.
Yeah, I just want to see it. I want to see it one more time in the Hebrew. Just a second. Let me shut this off. I don't want to bother the people who are listening to this. If there's ever anybody listening to it.